Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Warren, Michigan, and was a truck driver until he was 25. He then read a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and it transformed his life. In 1974, he started a marketing company, and in 1988, founded Youth Enrichment Series, which teaches 4th to 7th grade students how to achieve their full potential. He's a world-class sculptor, poet, and trumpet player. His name, Don Tocco, a bigger-than-life man, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the founder and president of Tocco & Associates, Don Tocco. Don, it's an honor. Welcome.
Jack, it's my honor. I grew up listening to WJR, the voice of the Great Lakes. Wonderful to be with you today, buddy.
Can we start by talking about your childhood?
Sure.
And your mom and dad?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in Warren, Michigan, and it was one of those terrific neighborhoods where we had every nationality. Dad was a disciplinarian, had to corral me frequently. My mother was the joyous, ebullious one. She was the one that was always laughing and joking and encouraging me to try anything that I wanted to do. So I had a really wonderful environment. It was a great opportunity to grow up in that era of the 50s and 60s.
You also loved your grandfather.
Yes.
Talk about your grandpa.
Grandpa Joe was the most gentle, kind, loving person you'd ever met in your life. He had big blue eyes. People always used to talk about how his eyes just radiated. It was like his soul was shining and smiling on you. And Grandpa helped raise me for the first 4 years of my life. So we became very close. And we had those special Sundays. After I got out of my teens and realized that people don't live forever, I made a commitment to go see he and my grandmother every single Sunday. So from the time I was 22 until Grandma passed in 91 and then Grand passed in 95, I was with them, church and brunch, every Sunday.
You're 18 years old, and you go to work for a job shop.
Yes.
What did you do for them?
Well, I had the pleasure of doing more than one thing, Jack. I drove the truck. I drove the high-low. I worked on a bench. It was a semi-skilled trade that I had learned. And we had many 12-hour days in that job shop. And I used to sit there smelling the sulfur coming off of the soldering guns and thinking to myself, gosh, there's got to be more to life than this. But there was no vision for that. I couldn't see. I had no vision beyond that. And one day, a young fella came in. He was probably 25 years old, handsome young fella, and wearing a beautiful suit and a red tie, and he was selling argon gas. And I saw him walk in, and I said, my, look at how sharp he is. Heck, I can put a suit on. I can do that. And he left, and I said to the guys, I said, how do you imagine somebody gets an opportunity like that? And, of course, nobody had an answer. So it planted the seed that possibly there was a way off the bench. Not that there was anything wrong with, you know, the working labor, because I actually enjoyed what I was doing. But a year later, I asked the folks that I was working for. Business was slow. I said, you think there's a chance that maybe I could do a little selling for you since, you know, we're off the mark here on our volume of business? And they said, why not? And so I said, well, why don't we start? They said, well, we'll get you some business cards. So for $6, they got me 500 business cards, and I became a marketing business development guy.
How did you go about winning the first piece of business?
I went to the Yellow Pages and looked under under the metal finishers, the guys that we were doing business with. And at that time, you could get the names of the purchasing agents and engineers and whatnot. So I got that right out of Thomas Registry and went to the phone and picked it up and called him. So told him who I was and who I was with and, you know, what I thought we could do. And went to meet him, and lo and behold, they started buying the product from me.
You're 25 years old, and you read a book.
Yes.
Changed your life.
Absolutely.
Talk about that
Mercy.
Book.
My best friend, when I was 18, gave me the book, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I didn't read the book right away because I felt that a book that would teach you about winning friends must be somewhat of a contrivance. But then when I ran out of things to read, I said, well, that's the last book in my library, which was about 9 books. So I took the book out and I read it in 2 days. And I was so enthralled. I was so excited about the concepts, the precepts, the principles of the book that I said to myself, I have got to be involved in this because the book teaches everything I believed in. So I called information and I asked for the Dale Carnegie course, got the number, called and asked for the president, who happened to be Ralph Nichols, who became one of my lifelong friends, mentor, and I'm honored to say that I'm his daughter's godfather. So that's how that evolution took place.
Can you tell us in a minute and a half the basic premise of Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People? What's the message?
The message, Jack, the message is a message of the heart. It is that we need to be able to communicate our in-depth feelings, our intents, and demonstrate that we're able to support people and uplift people. There are 21 principles that teach us how to communicate. So whether it's with your children, whether it's with your spouse, your bosses, friends, it's across that wonderful broad spectrum. So the book is fabulous, but the course really caps everything off. That's the way to do it, the book and then the Dale Carnegie Leadership Course.
We're talking to Don Tocco. Truck driver at 25, meets Ralph Nichols, and he goes and he tries to convince him that he should become an instructor for the Dale Carnegie speaking course. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Don Tocco, world-class sculptor, poet, and musician. Don, you're a truck driver. You meet this Ralph Nichols, and you try to convince him to let you be an instructor.
Yes.
How'd that go?
Not well. Because while he appreciated the enthusiasm, Don said, we have some rules and regulations. One, you have to be a college graduate. You have to be 30 years of age. I was 25. He said, you have to take the course, and you have to be a graduate assistant, which is assisting instructors for 2 classes, and to be trained by our New York office. So obviously, I had none of those. So with each of those edicts, you know, my head slumped a little farther down. And then he looked at me, and he said, tell you what. Why don't you be my guest in a mini course called a lab session, which is 3 weekends that reduce the course down to its core values, and we'll see where we go after that. So I went through that experience, and a couple months later we caught up again, and he said, tell you what, you love the course, don't you? I said, you know what, Ralph, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. He said, then why don't you come and be involved in the training as a graduate assistant? And I said, you know what? I would be honored to do that. So I did that for 9 years. Every week for 9 years, I was involved in at least 1 class a week, the leadership and also the Dale sales course, which is a superb program.
A lot of people believe they could never give a speech. Hardest thing to do for a lot of people.
Scariest thing.
You saw hundreds of people that were awful, that were transformed
Yes.
into good speakers.
Yes.
How did they do it?
Well, the way that happens, Jack, is people are oftentimes more concerned about how they present. They're concerned about the details of the content. But as we learned, a great communicator or a great speech must first be from the heart. It must be from the passion of the soul. And when the student is in the program, they're asked to talk about something that's important to them. So as they start to get that, they begin to shine through, and the fear disappears because the desire to communicate the idea or the feeling becomes more important than the fear. And so with practice, 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 we begin to develop a skill level.
Let's go back. You're selling for the job shop.
Yes.
You're selling fabricated containers.
That's correct.
And one day you go to an A&P warehouse.
That's right.
The guy didn't need a fabricated container, but he had another problem.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Oh, Joe Jehoda, the engineer of A&P, we sat down and he looked at our product and he said, you know, it's a great idea, I have to admit. He said, however, for me to accommodate your product, I would have to eliminate all of my refrigerated trucks, which were hundreds of trucks. And so I knew that the meeting was over. And then he looked at me and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I've got a problem in the plant. My floor, my concrete floor, is cracking and we're starting to get some bacteria buildup. I need someone to come in here and saw cut that floor, fill it with some type of material, and also make it a non-skid surface so people don't slip and fall. Can you help me? Well, I looked at him. I thought he was segueing to a joke. I mean, I'm there to sell aluminum welded containers, and he's talking about his floor. But something in me just instantly knew that the guy, he was giving me this opportunity. And I looked at him. I said, Joe, absolutely, I can help you.
I'm your man.
I'm your guy.
So then what did you do?
Well, I went back to this little job shop, went to the little office up in the front there that was so small, you could actually fall in any direction and not hit a wall. I mean, not hit the floor. It was like 7x7. And he said, I got the yellow pages out and opened them up to flooring and saw there was a number of contractors in there and, called the first one on the list and explained that we had an opportunity at A&P. And if you'd like to have this chance, let's go see this person and perhaps you can pay me somehow. So that was John Davis of Davis Painters. We went out there and actually bid that job. Didn't get it. Did not get it. But John Davis said, you know what? If you're out here calling on these companies, why don't you see if you can find something else for me and we'll work out some deal.
One day, 1974, you're driving past a building, and that was the day that Toco & Associates was formed. Talk about that building.
Jack, I was driving across the Rouge River Bridge. It was in March, and it was a windy, nasty day, and I looked out at across the magnificent space of, our industrial complex, and you could smell that sulfur coming through the ventilation system. It was wretched. It smelled like rotten eggs. And then I occurred to me that I needed to not look at it that way. I thought, that really could smell like money, because look at all those huge buildings down there. And I drove on to Ohio, and by the time I got to Toledo, what then occurred was, what did all those buildings have in common? And it was simple. Somebody had to build them. Somebody had to maintain them. And what if I could put together a small group of competent companies, responsive, competitive companies, to go in and represent them as a team or a group, and then work with those engineers and those purchasing people? And that was the beginning of Toco & Associates.
Wow. You're multi-talented. One of the things you do very well is write poetry.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Thank you.
Can you share with us, paraphrase with us, The Measure of a Man?
I would enjoy that. The Measure of a Man was written with my grandfather in mind. A man is not his mind, however he shall use it to contemplate. It will be his vehicle for decisiveness. Sharpened, it will be as a surgeon's scalpel. A man is not his body, but he must live within its limitations. Honoring it as his temple, it will serve him well. A man is not his heart, yet he will yearn to follow it. It will draw him as the flower draws the bee. He will live between its mountains and its valleys. A man is not his soul, while his soul will flourish in meditation and prayer. It will blossom with honesty, integrity, and love. it will sustain the voice of conscience. A man is not his family, yet truly his wealth will be counted here. His home a castle, however exalted or humble, if he has earned love and respect. A man is not his career, but his career will measure him by scale. It will stretch him and dash him too, rewarding him for diligence and punishing for idleness. What then is a man but a sum total of each aspect? One and all is a symphony yearning to harmonize with the universe.
That's A Measure of a Man, Don Tocco. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Don Tocco. Don, you had 1 year of college at Macomb Community.
Yes.
You're a truck driver, forklift driver. And then you get this can-do attitude, this street sense. The Jewish people have a word, chutzpah.
Yes.
The audacity, the courage to dream big, that you can make a difference and have a great life. How did you ever get that courage, that audacity?
Two things, Jack, two things. One, when I was 18, my mother gave me a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Reverend Norman Vincent Peale. Of course, many people are familiar with the book. Yeah, having read that book, it completely revolutionized and changed my way of looking at life and my potential as a human being and as a child of God. And with that, I said, I can be more, do more, and therefore, if that's the case, then I can help more people. So I used to go home at night, and when I was actually $7,500 in debt at the time. Adjusted for inflation would be $75,000 in debt. And I would stand outside my parents' home or my grandparents' wherever I happened to be living at the time. And I would look up in the sky and I would raise my hands and I would look up and I said, Lord, I have no idea what you want me to do. But if you will give me direction and help me help myself, I promise I will help others. So that was my covenant with God. And then sequentially, as time went on, people started giving me, not only my mother, but other people started giving me books like The Magic of Believing, Think and Grow Rich, The Three Magic Words, and there were probably 10 core texts. And I read each one of them, and each one built upon the idea that if you develop yourself from the inside out with integrity, character, and honesty, you put yourself out there, make truth your sword, you can make a lot of things happen.
We're talking to Don Tocco. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're with Don Tocco. Don, what is self-confidence, and how does a person go about getting self-confidence?
Self-confidence, Jack, in my opinion, is where we actually forget about ourselves and think about the other person or the other people. Self-consciousness, you know, one who is self-conscious or lack self-confidence is only thinking about themselves and the circumstance and how they might not succeed and how they might have this failure experience. So building self-confidence is the willingness to put the other person first and then make whatever effort we need to make to achieve our objective. Now, we're going to meet with a lot of failure on a day-to-day basis. Our ratio is 85% failure at Tocco & Associates. Our clients we have the greatest contractors, I think, in the country in the industrial sector, yet they still lose 85% of the jobs they bid. So we're dealing with failure every day, a great deal of it. So it's not the failure we concentrate on. It's the 15% of the successes. And as time goes on, we then can program ourselves to see the positive, to actually get the benefits from the failure. So perhaps I can sum it up this way. People do not reject the performer. They reject the performance. So no matter how many times people say no to us, we can continue to work on ourselves and or our objectives, and eventually we'll succeed by improving our performance.
Hugh O'Brien, who was on a few weeks ago,
yes,
50 years ago, started Hobie, Hugh O'Brien Youth, mm-hmm. Phenomenal program. You've been phenomenally involved with that. One of the many things that Hugh says is, quote, "The greatest power we possess, other than God, is the power to choose."
Yes. Well, just think about that tremendous responsibility that it is, that we have every day. The myriad of choices that we're making about who we're going to spend time with, our health, whether or not we are going to be reverent toward our faith, toward God, our commitment to our fellow men, to our businesses. Every single day, we are shaping our future by our choices. And as time goes on, we begin to learn that those choices have to have great content. And in that, the architect of those choices, you know, we manifest, we bring forth the life that we have. William James, the philosopher, said, "Mind is the master power that molds and makes. And man is mind, and evermore he takes the tools of thought in shaping what he wills, brings forth 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, but it comes to pass, because the environment is but his looking glass." So we choose our thoughts carefully, we choose our actions carefully, and the results will be the common theme of our efforts and our intent.
You're a huge believer that you have to surround yourself with world-class people. A lot of people say, when I get successful, I'll be able to do that, but I can't do it now because I'm not successful. They never get successful. Talk about that.
That's the greatest gift that I have in my life, are the phenomenal people that are in my life. My business associates, folks in my office, we got a fabulous team. My contractors are rock solid, stable, appreciative people who are oriented towards serving the customer. And no one has the greater pleasure of calling on the finest people in the industry. The folks that I call on, my customers, are terrific people. So it all starts with that first meeting and greeting, and showing those people that we're going to be with that we care about them, that we respect them, that we appreciate them, not to take anything for granted, which is very hard to do, especially after time goes by. Sometimes people in our life, we tend to take them for granted, and their loyalty and their friendship. And so that's a constant, you know, process of noting and being aware that we've got to really care about these people and show them, not just tell them, but show them we care.
You are an impeccable dresser. Where did you ever learn that?
Well, you know what, Jack? I worked at a clothing store. When I was 16, I used to sweep the sidewalks, sweep up the cigarette butts, and wash the windows. And then when the clothes would come in, the boxes, I would unpack them and I'd stack them. And then Mr. Ross over at Van Dyke Clothiers, once in a while, he actually let me take care of a customer. So there I was, all we could afford were, you know, jeans and little, these little cheap cotton shirts at the time. And here I am, taking beautiful wool slacks out of boxes and Egyptian cotton shirts and banlon sweaters. And so I got all excited about clothes. And I hope that one day I could at least have a couple of suits, which I've been able to accomplish.
You started a program called YES, Youth Enrichment Series. It's a 5-day program for children from the 4th to the 7th grade.
Yes.
What are Share with us that program.
Youth Enrichment started in 1988 when a principal in a local elementary school heard me speak at the high school. And she called me. She said, I'd like to sit down and I'd like to meet with you about something. So she came to my office, her and two teachers, and said, we've got a special program for fourth graders, and we think that your material, scaled down, would really be useful to these kids. And I looked at her and I said, did you say fourth grade? She said, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, I have a difficult enough time. It's enough of a challenge to communicate with high school students plus adults, let alone these little people. I said, but let me think about it. Let me pray on it. And I thought about it over the weekend. I called her on Monday and I said, I'll do it. I said, but let's put something together that's got some teeth, and it's going to have to be more than one visit. So we put together a five-hour program. It's 5 hours. It's I like to go in on Monday mornings, the first hour. And it really is a mini MBA program. It is a mini Dale Carnegie course for these little people. It constitutes and includes every single principle that every person who is succeeding in life is using on a daily basis. So these little guys and gals get the benefit of the same models and principles as do high-level executives or anybody taking advanced programs.
If a teacher out there tonight, a listener, is interested, how can they learn more about that program?
Go online, yesyouth.com, at AOL.com, and we'll be happy to provide information. Sponsored, by the way, I want to hasten to say that I have... again, never charge the fee for these programs. And, you know, I love doing it, and it's a contribution back to the community. And, you know, we want to see more and more people step up and help these young people who are talented people. Guys and gals all over the city, all over this country, can do these things. It's not that difficult.
Another poem you've written is Lord of Smiles. Can you share that one with us?
I'd love to, Jack. You know, when you're going down the street, you're going through a mall and you're kind of minding your own business, and all of a sudden you look up and there's a young gal or a guy or anybody that looks at you and smiles. It just kind of lights us up, doesn't it? It just makes us really feel good. And so I was thinking about that one day, and then I, you know, it's our responsibility to share these things. Anyway, I trust in thee for eternal laughter and joy. I pray thee make me grateful and loving, full of smiles for my brothers and sisters, weak and strong. I know by smiling I can't go wrong. Give me peace and comfort that I may sing your song through loving eyes and a happy face. Let me do my share to make this world a better place.
Lord of Smiles, Don Toko, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Don Toko. Don, as we were walking into the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building this evening, you looked at me and said, Jackie, this is deja vu all over again. Can you share that?
Sure. It was 1977, and Hal Youngblood was the executive producer of JR at the time. And I'd spent a little time with Hal and Mike Worf and JP. And so he said, how would you like to meet a world-famous baseball player? And I said, oh, yeah, it'd be fabulous. He said, come on down Wednesday, and he'll be in Studio D, and you'll be able to visit with him for a minute or two before JP comes in. So I brought three baseballs with me, and I walked into the studio and went up to this gentleman. And I said, sir, I said, what an honor to meet you. And I said, would you mind autographing these three baseballs? So I gave names. He said, sure. So as he was autographing, he couldn't go anywhere. And I said to him, may I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, what characteristics did you develop to become a world-class baseball player? And he said, well, he said, you know, I've always had an I can attitude. And I said, okay, I understand that. I've read about that. anything else? And he paused for a long time, and he kind of looked up at the ceiling, and he said, yes. He said, I've had a lot of struggles in my life playing ball, a lot of pressure from the community, just a lot of pressure trying to hit home runs. And he said, I thought several times my career was going to be wrapped up, but I was done. He said, and that is when I turned my life over to God. And we always got the job done together. And I will never forget, as long as I live, and I still, of course, have my autograph baseball from Hank Aaron, still baseball's home run king.
You've spoken with world-class leaders, presidents, senators, governors, business leaders, motivational speakers. Who else really impressed you?
I would have to say standing toe-to-toe at the Waldorf Astoria in 1991, in the spring of 1991, looking up at this behemoth of a man, this warrior, this soldier, General Norman Schwarzkopf, and the conflict, the Desert Storm had just ended, and I shook his hand, and my hand disappeared in his hand. His hand was so big. And I said, the general, I said, if I may, please ask you a question. And he's a wonderful man, very soft countenance. He looked at me and said, sure. I said, what's your definition of leadership? And he looked at me right square in the eyes, and he said, leadership is a potent combination of strategy and character. But if you must be without one, be without the strategy.
5 years ago, you decide to start the annual Hillsdale Sports Challenge.
Mm-hmm, yes.
What's that all about?
Well, 5.5 years ago, I was reading the Imprimis, or Imprimis, which is a monthly newsletter or reprint from some top gun guy or gal who is making a profound statement about politics or life in this, these United States or around the world. And reading this article, it occurred to me that this Hillsdale College was a real special place. And I said, literally to myself, I've got to find out who these people are, and I've got to support them. It's not like I didn't have anything else to do, but, you know, just something, in some intuit, something spoke to me and said, just make it happen. So on that following Monday, I picked up the phone and I called the president's office, Dr. Arne, and asked for a meeting. And his secretary said, well, she said, can you give us some idea what you want to do? I said, well, I want to help the school. I know we're going to have to bring some money to the program. I said, but I have an idea. I want to get on the campus and work with these young people, because you've got a school, as I understand, that takes no money from the federal government. You have a school that's been around 165 years. And from what I have read, the school is one of the premier liberal arts schools in America. It turns out it's according to Princeton Review, the best liberal arts school in America, but they use the conservative, you know, they preface with conservative. I think it's just the greatest liberal arts school in the country, period. At any rate, I eventually met with Dr. Arne and John Cervini and Mark Mears, and I said, guys, this is my idea in some summation. Let's have a sports challenge. Get your best athlete, get your best six or seven athletes, and every spring, you pick the time, we'll compete in four sports. Free throw and three-point shooting, the 80-mile-an-hour fastball in the batting cage, throwing to receivers, running routes. We'll each have to throw 20 passes, and it'll culminate with a tennis match against the student who has the highest score. So Dr. Arne said, well, okay, I understand you want to do this, but what's in it for us? I said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. If any one of your students, any one of the six or seven, could beat me, I will guarantee you $25,000. And he looked at me and he paused. He said, just a minute. Are you saying that if any one of our students, our athletes, can beat you, you'll make sure we get $25,000? I said, yes. He goes, we can do that. And he had this great smile on his face. And they put that together, and actually 2 weeks ago was the fifth annual TOCO Sports Challenge at Hillsdale College.
How have you done in these 5 years?
Well, the good Lord has been good to me, so I have been able to prevail three 4 years, and we're not done. We still have to play the tennis for the trophy, and that will be next Wednesday.
The finalist, you know, of the of the seven college stars, the kid up, you're up against in tennis, does he play any sports?
Mark Nicolay is 6'2". He's the captain of the football team. He's the starting quarterback. He played varsity basketball and varsity baseball, and he's a very good recreational tennis player. So I'd say that the competition this year is superb. But they have for as small a school they are in number. They have a tremendous number of wonderful athletes. So yes, they're pretty good athletes.
You're neck and neck with this kid.
Yes.
You won three of the first four.
Yes.
In a week, May 13th.
Yes.
You have a birthday.
That's right.
How old are you going to be?
We never tell that, Jack. No. I'll be 60.
60.
I'll be 60.
You're in phenomenal shape.
Thank you, my friend.
How?
Well, we have to live in our bodies. And many, many years ago, I was blessed by meeting a gentleman. His name was Master Shang Kyu Shim. He was a ninth degree black belt in karate. He was Chuck Norris's instructor. And we spent about half an hour visiting. And I said, Master Shim, what is the most important thing in life? And without hesitation, he said, discipline. And I said, how do you define it? He said, it's that which I do every day that's positive. And I said, what do you do? He said, I train and I meditate. So I left, and about a week later, I decided that if I was going to be a true disciplinarian, if I was going to have that kind of discipline, it had to be something that I could do every day. And I was 1981, and I started exercising every single morning.
The 3 years that you've won, what happened to the $25,000?
Well, we guarantee him. We guarantee him $15,000 if I win, when I win. But I have people who bet against me, and I invite anybody to come and bet against me, and they should, because I really don't have much chance of winning.
So,
and they get more money.
Closing, one last question.
Yes.
What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
My advice to young folks, really anybody, would be to stop comparing yourself with other people, and don't even let others compare you with other people. Know that the greatest investment that a person can make in their life is an investment in self-improvement, which is a lifelong quest. And the way to do that is by reading great books, obviously the Bible and others, attending classes, the Dale Carnegie course, and listening to CDs by people who know what they're talking about. And don't waste time watching television. And maybe the most important thing is pray often.
Don, I really admire you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, my friend.
Keep up the great work.
Great to be here, Jay.
Our guest next Sunday will be a wife, a mother, a poet, another poet, the mother of Mira, Angie Weaver. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Thank you, my friend.